Welcome back to the News and Views Radio Network. It's good to have you with us here on News and Views. Brian Koch, the chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, is going to be joining us in just a second, and we'll get a chance to visit with him on some of what we've been discussing. And we will get getting all kinds of emails saying, why are you avoiding the government shutdown agreement? I'm not. You know, you take them when you can get them. And I got Dave Glott and I got Brian in here. And so I wanted to make sure that I took advantage of that. Brian, good to have you on News and Views. How you doing, bud?
Hey, great, Joel. Thanks for having me on the show today.
What role does the North Dakota Public Service Commission play in the regulation of pipelines?
Well, Joel, we are the 100% agency that sites transmission lines for natural gas and crude lines. So we're out there when a company wants to build a new pipeline, they'll come file an application. We'll go out and hold a hearing or hearings in the communities most affected, work through the siting process. And then it changes. Once the commission has sited the pipeline, and if it's a natural gas line and the gas starts flowing, we still retain some jurisdiction on natural gas. As a few years ago, we had the incident in Fargo with natural gas. We were right in the middle of that. But in the case of crude, once the transmission line goes into operation for crude, the Central Region PHMSA, Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, takes jurisdiction of the operation of that pipeline.
So who are they?
Who are they? They are a federal agency under the U.S. Department of Transportation.
So it's the feds that dropped the ball on regulating and making sure this pipeline was working.
Well, I wouldn't go right to a conclusion that anybody's dropped the ball quite yet, other than obviously the company has got a big spill in their hand.
Tesoro dropped the ball.
Well, there's certainly. I think that's the point of we have to really figure out what exactly happened. The questions that I've asked, I guess, back to my role are, okay, why did this spill happen? Was it improper maintenance? Was it improper operations? Was it a violation to call before you dig? It looks like that's not been the case. I mean, you've heard me over the last 2 years rampant about
nobody call before hit you. It with a backhoe. Wasn't it.
No, but that's one area that right away, when you hear a pipeline spill, you're like, what happened? And usually the biggest cause of pipeline incidents is third-party damage. That's why, you know, back to the call before you, I pushed and pushed on that. But take that out of the picture. Most pipeline incidents come back to improper operation or maintenance. And so that now, the way I understand it, the pipeline segment has been cut out. It's off to a national lab. They're doing their investigation. They'll figure out what exactly happened to cause that leak. So there's that piece. And there's also the second piece of during the siting process, we're given assurances from the companies that their monitoring systems will make sure these kind of things don't happen. So there's, 20,600 barrels of oil in the ground that shouldn't be there. And I just can't imagine that this much product goes into the pipeline and it doesn't come out that somebody doesn't notice that.
Are you comfortable that we know how much oil got away?
You know, I'd never say anybody's comfortable till it's all cleaned up. You just don't know. My experience in the Marine Corps with pipeline spills and other things is that, you know, oftentimes you have a perception of what it is and you get into it and it changes. So that's why it's so important that we keep the updating process through the health department and others, what's going on.
Governor Dalrymple, when I had him on my show live in Bismarck, said, And he didn't hide the fact that he was upset that he didn't know more sooner. You as chairman of the Public Service Commission, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think both of us, I can't speak for him, I guess, but I was upset that I didn't know until October 10th about this. And the normal routine that we'll get notification is if it's a gas spill, we'll know immediately because we're in the chain right away. If it's a crude spill, within 48 hours, we always get notification from PHMSA. They'll send us, this is for your information. And sometimes we'll send an inspector out there just to kind of snoop around and make sure it may not be a third-party damage. So in our conversation with PHMSA back, it's like, you know, why didn't we know about this? And that's the big question. I don't want to say government shutdown, why PHMSA didn't notify us. But normally PHMSA is really good about notifying us. I can't speak to the health department and the governor's chain, but this is an oddity. And it's not good, period.
It's not. I mean, it makes us look like we cannot regulate and deal with the industry that's just booming and exploding all around us.
Well, and that's the part that, okay, what are we going to do going forward? I've thrown out there, I actually was scheduled to testify in front of the Energy Committee before this happened, or before I knew about it. And so on Monday, I threw out to Senator Wardner and his crowd, I said, hey, the PSC does intrastate gas. We could do intrastate crude. My understanding with the federal agency, they would be happy to share that jurisdiction with us because they need more inspectors. The way we do our gas program is it's a match. We pay half, the feds pay half. So we could do that as a state, look at our intrastate crude, and I think that's a discussion we have to have because as the guy that cites pipelines, I don't like to be sitting on the sidelines when there's a spill because, you know, everybody thinks we have responsibility in it, so let's step forward and do something.
So describe to me the physical structure of a pipeline built 20 years ago versus the ones you're approving today.
Great question. The first thing I did was pull out the order from 1993 that had Commissioner Weefall, Commissioner Hagan, and Commissioner Reinbold signed it. I looked through the order. And there was nothing in that that looked that struck me as odd. It was, you know, 23.6 miles, 6-inch pipeline. What was interesting was they talked about the need at the refinery because there wasn't enough product at that time to keep the refinery
right.
going. So ironic. Went through, the Fish and Wildlife saw it was fine. The Historical Society, they gave them their standard depth. And then there's a paragraph in there that we put in all of our orders that continued operation of this pipeline has to comply with all federal and state rules and guidelines. So that's kind of the, we set the stage for, you, we cite it if you agree to operate like this. But nothing in that order of 93 struck me as odd.
Okay, but the pipe itself, how are they constructed today versus what they were constructed back then? Any major difference?
I wouldn't think on the pipe themselves there's much difference, but my understanding of, they call it cathodic protection, the DC current that runs down the line so they don't rust. The coatings and those things and the monitoring system should be a lot better now. I'm sure they are a lot better now than they were 20 years ago because just technology for monitoring, technology for electronic protection is much better.
Kent Nonstad and Max Schneider came on this show. They sent a letter to the health department with basic questions that they felt, you know, to protect their constituents, they needed to say, which was, hey, you know, when did we know, you know, how do we know all of these things? That being said, you know, they really want to know how we can lose 20,600 barrels of oil without ever knowing about it. Brian, there was legislation introduced that would have directed people to deal with such things like this. It was defeated in the North Dakota legislature. Is it time for the Public Service Commission to support that legislation?
Well, I think we have to look at, I don't recall that piece of legislation, but I can tell you that we have to do something that gets the awareness out there more quickly. One of the things that I've thought about in the PSC is in our orders, we put in there, if there's a violation to call before you dig, you have to let us know, and that's put in our orders. So I've thought about, and I think I'm going to do it, is now in our orders going forward, if you want to run this pipeline, if there is a hit, you have to notify us. So that doesn't mean we're going to, the feds may still have the jurisdiction on inspection or investigation, but we then will be notified. And we've also asked the federal agency, PHMSA, that we want periodic updates of what's going on, because this isn't the first time we've had a crude oil line hit or a spill. We've had other spills in the state, and we always track them through. And I think what will happen is PHMSA will then decide if they're going to levy a fine. They may do a corrective action plan. But the point here is, if we're going to be a major energy player in the U.S. and the world, we have to have the right infrastructure in place. We have to have the right regulations and the right enforcement. We don't need any more regulations. I think the enforcement perhaps should be at the state level.
Why is it wrong to ask? The word regulate obviously throws up red flags for everyone. But
we've got plenty of laws.
Why is it? Well, okay. Then where's the law that says they have to have the type of control structure on this that knows when they're losing oil? They didn't know they were losing oil. Obviously, we don't have enough laws, Brian. If they have to have, they should have some type of mechanical system that you can go to say, look, you ignored this, or this wasn't working. And I remember being in that Industry, Business, and Labor Committee when Susan Wefald would come down and talk about things like this in a divided PSC. She didn't sound as aggressive, or she sounded as aggressive as you in trying to protect North Dakota. But she was in the minority. I mean, she had Kevin Cramer and Tony Clark and Leo Reinbold before her, or Tony Clark. I mean, they were all fighting her on this. They would never support anything Susan Wefald said. And she'd come down there and she said, I'm not here speaking on behalf of the whole Public Service Commission, but I'm speaking as a Public Service Commissioner. We'd all just smile. And of course, I'd vote Susan's way and we'd lose, you know.
Well, Joel, we have to see what this investigation lays out. But when we go through the siting, I ask the questions to the company. What is your emergency response plan? They tell us. What is your SCADA system? And they give us absolute assurances that they've got the right systems in place, that if they have a pressure drop, they will notice it and make sure that it gets shut down before the spill takes place. And in the 1993 order, it talked about a monitoring system to make sure this thing wouldn't happen. So I think as this thing unfolds that there's going to be something that was not right in the operation of this pipeline. I mean, it has to be.
Do you worry whether it corroded from the outside in or the inside out? Are you fairly confident it corroded from the inside out?
No, I'm not. I don't know enough about whether inside or outside. I think that the initial report I saw from PHMSA talked about electronic interference. And so that leads me to believe that something in that electronic current, the cathodic protection, got interfered with. So if you don't have those electrons going down, then the corrosion will start. So I don't know inside or outside. But
Here's what I've seen what soil can do to metal pipe.
Very acidic. And
exactly. Yeah. And so what I want more than anything as a North Dakotan is to know whether or not this was from the outside in. And if it was from the outside in, I'm not a big believer that the smart pig is going to tell me everything I need to know looking at it from the inside out. In other words, the only way to check some of this is to just do some random dig-ups, dig down to the pipe and take a look at it, you know?
Well, I think that's all part of an integrity management plan that the company has to have. But my understanding on the...
Again, that's a regulation, Brian.
But they have to have them. They have to have integrity management plans.
Well, they weren't doing it.
Well, and that may be what comes out as a violation in this thing. We have to wait and see.
Okay,
what,
I see what you're getting. You want to take some phone calls?
Whatever,
can you do that?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. 237-5948. Text Club. But this one says, could the chemicals put onto the field, i.e. anhydrous ammonia, have contributed to the corrosion of the pipe?
You know, I don't want to speculate to what could have, but you know what? Anything is a possibility. That's all I would say.
Okay, another one says, you know what? Things like this happen in every industry. Can they be prevented? Absolutely. The pipeline is over 15 years old. Actually, it's about 20 years old. These older pipelines, even the brand new ones, need to be monitored and tested regularly.
Absolutely. That's part of an integrity management plan. We look at the gas system at least annually. We need to look at how often PHMSA looked at this pipeline.
Thank you for those two great text messages. We'll be back with your phone calls. You can get it through right away. We've got open phone lines at 1-800-880-5346. Brian Kauk, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner, is our guest. We're talking about the what to do's. You know, where do we go from here's after this big pipeline spill in western North Dakota? Brian, have you talked to the landowner himself?
I have not talked to the landowner, just what I actually heard him on your show, but I've not talked to him. My goal is to get out there next week and look at the site.
Okay. Have you talked to the governor at all yet about this?
I have not talked to the governor. Actually, we're working on scheduling a meeting with him and I because I've already pitched my thing about the PSC taking interstate crude. I want to pitch it to the governor too.
Okay. I want to share with you an email here. And, you know, let's just say the guy probably doesn't dislike you, but he took offense to some things you said here. It says, what's wrong with Brian? The correct answer to your question is yes, we need to require a system in every pipeline we approve that would tell us if there was a problem. Kauk doesn't seem like he's working for the people of North Dakota, more like working for the oil industry. We elect you, Brian. Do the job that protects North Dakota and its citizens. I don't want to read that when you're gone and then not let
sure.
you respond to it.
I think it is required. And I think you were talking about more regulation, and our current orders do require that these SCADA systems are in place. They do require that we have emergency response plans. So they're there right now. My question is, that was required back in 1993. Why didn't it happen? Because the spill took place now. So no, to the email or caller, I mean, they are in place now.
So
that's going to be what the potential violation is around.
What I'm hearing you say is somebody broke the rules of their permit, thereby breaking the law.
I don't want to draw conclusions, but I looked at the order from the PSC saying, well, you have to do these things before you can keep it in operation. I know that the operations plan from PHMSA talks about maintenance, talks about inspection. So something happened in this pipe to cause it to rupture. If they're doing your maintenance properly and your inspection plan properly, these things shouldn't happen.
Okay.
I just don't want to say, hey, here's what happened, because I don't know conclusively.
But you have the ability to fine.
I do not. The federal agency does. The health department does. Now, if it's intrastate gas where I do inspections, we have fine people in the state.
Okay, let's get to Jeff. Jeff, you're on with Brian Kauk.
Yeah, I just have kind of a two-part question. The first one is that they said that this pipeline was turned on prior to getting the results back. Who actually authorized, or who actually turned that line on? First part. Second part is that I never really heard anybody say that before the results got back, but I never really heard anybody say the results would have told us not to do that.
Okay.
What are the results?
That's a great point, Jeff. Appreciate it. A caller called in earlier and said they found out the results of the test prior to turning this pipeline back on, that this wasn't ready for operation. Is that true? Do you know?
Well, I've only seen the same thing I think the caller has seen, is the there was an inspection done that had some concerns that perhaps this thing shouldn't have started back up. But the question of it is, once the jurisdiction's turned over to PHMSA, the company then has to have a startup plan like they would have used back in 93. And then when they take the pipeline operation, they still have to run the same kind of startup plan and get approval from PHMSA. They should do all the corrective maintenance ahead of time, obviously. And so I think that's one of the things the company is going to have to show is, was there neglect in anything and when they started this thing back up? But that's what the investigation...
So that was the other part of his question, though, is who approves them to restart this pipeline, and you're saying it's the federal agency that oversees it.
It does. They take care of operations.
Okay. And are you prepared to go back to the North Dakota State Health Department and say, we're going to end up bearing the responsibility. It's our state. We want the people that we need to monitor this and get involved in this as well.
Absolutely. I think that that's the discussion that has to take place is, should the PSC do the inspections for intrastate crude just like we do for intrastate gas? So we have local people on the ground. Now, we would not take the responsibility away from the federal government. It'd be a shared responsibility like it is now for the gas lines that go to your home in Fargo or your home in Grand Forks.
Had I lost in the old rural water system 1 million gallons, I would have known it.
There's absolutely correct. There's a pipeline that had 20,600 barrels of crude going in that didn't come out. How in heck does that happen? If you're doing everything correctly, it shouldn't happen. You know, the maintenance, if you're doing the maintenance correctly, you're going to know these things. If the SCADA system is working correctly, when you got a leak, it shuts the pipeline down.
Bison lose a game this year?
One.
Which one?
Youngstown State's going to be a tough one.
All right.
But I have my tickets to Frisco right now. I've already
so
got
far,
it.
So far, losing one game prior to going into the playoffs hasn't been a bad thing for the Bison.
Well, we tell you that. You and I game, even last week, we just, you know, I got 1 year of eligibility. I don't want to have to use it.